Life with a Star is another one of those extraordinary fictions Philip Roth keeps finding in Eastern Europe, a precious ore in the collapse of cultures. Roth finds these mineral veins, talks about them, talks publishers into having them translated, and bullies reviewers into reading them with a fire-breathing preface. And he's right again. I'd never heard of Jerry Vile, although Milan Kundera is said to have been influenced by him. I didn't want to read another novel about Jewish victims of the Nazi occupation, especially not in the style of Franz Kafka and Isaac Babel. I'm sorry Vile was a victim of Stalinists as well as Nazis in his native Czechoslovakia, but there are hundreds of books by similar victims that I haven't found time for, not to mention this summer's wonderful new detective novels by Tony Hillerman, Sue Grafton, and Robert Parker. But Roth flogged me on, and a dozen pages into Life with a Star, I was transfixed. Joseph, even the name is borrowed from Kafka, used to be a bank clerk before they made him wear a yellow star. They are nameless, but they occupy Prague, and they ration the marrow in Joseph's stew bones and send him to work in a cemetery and refuse him haircuts and typewriters and musical instruments and require of him a permit to ride the tram on alternate Tuesdays. They arrest people for Beethoven and Hamlet. An acquaintance of Joseph's observes, "They certainly have interesting things to worry about in this war of theirs." Joseph agrees. "They're very inventive," he says. "They don't mind the war at all." He might have escaped to another country with his beloved Rosanna. "But I was a coward," he says. "There always comes a moment when one must make a decision, and all I did was close my eyes and put my fingers in my ears." He is asleep in his own life, in ordinary evil. At first he's even proud. The yellow star has turned him into, quote, "a special person whom everyone looked at and made way for." Later, he wonders why it never occurred to him that it was a bad thing to be an animal in the circus, that pushing a ball with their snouts wasn't something seals normally did, nor dogs walk on 2 feet with hunting caps. All of a sudden, he says, "I knew an awful lot about the circus when I was on the other side of the railing." Cold, alone, smoking tea, Joseph hallucinates. He dreams of the absent Rosanna. He talks to his cat, whose name is Thomas. "You doubt me, Thomas," he says. And maybe Joseph is a Christ figure for the camps. He will also speak in parables about crows pecking at the eyes of martyrs and a magic rake that turns leaves into words. But when at last his summons comes, his transport number, where Joseph really goes, I can't tell you. Somewhere beyond words and numbers, religion and politics, irony and horror, somewhere beyond identity itself. Not a Kafka or a Babel, but Jean-Paul Sartre seems to have written this novel, a nausea about history. Joseph sets fire to the book we are reading. Smoke burns the mind's eye.